This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Facing a new Democratic frontrunner in John Kerry, George W. Bush's reelection campaign is quietly shifting gears, preparing for the possibility that it will confront a war hero and current senator. But the line of attack is the same. Whether Howard Dean or Kerry, the Democrats' nominee would be a left-leaning New Englander who wants to raise taxes and reverse course on Iraq, campaign officials and Bush advisors say. At the same time, there is debate within Bush's administration and inside his reelection headquarters about how hard to strike at Kerry of Massachusetts, who won the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary. He is a decorated war veteran, knowledgeable about domestic and foreign affairs, and has a certain gravitas and strength as a debater. A roadside bomb exploded Thursday in the central Iraqi city of Bakuba, wounding 11 Iraqis a day after thousands of Shiite Muslims protested in the south to demand the resignation of the U.S.-appointed provincial governor. In the latest suicide attack, a vehicle disguised as an ambulance blew up Wednesday in front of a hotel used by Westerners, killing three people, including a South African. The protest by about 10,000 people in the town of Nasiriyah was the latest sign of growing empowerment of Iraq's majority Shiites, who were repressed for decades by Saddam Hussein's Sunni-dominated regime.
I just got attacked by Robert Novak.
That's New Hampshire activist Brad Carr, who has filed an assault complaint against CNN pundit Robert Novak for allegedly assaulting him outside a New Hampshire restaurant on Tuesday. In an IE America exclusive interview, Carr explains what happened.
I followed Robert Novak out and confronted him about the Valerie Plame incident, and I called him a traitor for outing a CIA agent, which is a federal offense, which he's not being held accountable for. He was heading towards his bus, and he turned around and grabbed me and shoved me and attempted to strike me. And some people who were standing there prevented him from doing that.
Anti-media groups have called for Novak to issue a public apology and to hand in his resignation from CNN. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Make a fast friend. Adopt an ex-racing greyhound. Greyhound Pets of America is a national nonprofit organization that finds loving homes for these friendly, loving ex-racers. Greyhounds make fantastic pets because they thrive on attention, generally get along great with children and other animals, and are usually pretty easy to housebreak. Call Greyhound Pets of America at 800-366-1472. Greyhound Pets of America, 800-366-1472.
Someone lifted a 170-pound bronze statue of Yoda, the Star Wars Jedi Master. The theft from a flatbed truck was reported to police last weekend, and the owner has offered a $1,000 reward for its return. The limited edition bronze is worth up to $20,000. The statue was bolted to a flatbed truck parked overnight at a Pasadena motel, but someone loosened the bolts and grabbed Yoda that night or early the next morning. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news. You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Why is it that our national policymakers are so robustly optimistic and filled with such can-do enthusiasm when it comes to shoveling billions of our tax dollars into big federal projects favored by wealthy campaign donors, but fall into dismal depths of negativity and dispirited cries of no-can-do pessimism when it comes to paying for the things the majority of us Americans want and desperately need? Take health care, a glaring national need not only for the 43 million people without any coverage, but also for the many millions more who have insurance policies that are so inadequate, expensive, and riddled with insurance company loopholes that their coverage is next to useless. The prestigious Institute of Medicine has just issued a report saying that our country has a swelling health care crisis and that policymakers should respond with a universal program to provide affordable, high-quality health care to all. How did policymakers respond? With a big no way. Tommy Thompson, Secretary of the Health and Human Services Department, led the naysaying. "I just don't think it's in the cards," he shrugged. "I don't think that administratively or legislatively it's feasible." This guy is America's top healthcare official, faced with a crucial issue that personally affects the majority of Americans, yet he whimpers that good healthcare for everyone is simply beyond America's ability, so he won't even try for it. Ironically, the Institute's report and plea for action came the same day that Bush announced that he wanted to spend unlimited billions of our tax dollars to build a space station on the moon and send astronauts to Mars. His political aide said the futuristic Mars shot was a reflection of Bush's optimistic nature. This is Jim Hightower saying, fine, but how about we bring some of that optimism down to Earth where we all live? They should at least try to meet the real needs of real people in the here and now. If they're not up to this job, let's find someone who is.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Well, is the Federal Reserve playing with dynamite? A better question, in my opinion, is the Bush administration playing with dynamite, and the Federal Reserve is trying to keep them from dropping the little bottle of this stuff and having it blow up all over us? Welcome. This is Tom Hartman. Welcome, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way from coast to coast. Great to have you with me today. We have a lot to cover, and you always try and figure, you know, what's the most important story for the day? Where should I start? And this is something that was in large part an obscure story on the financial pages. And yet I think it is one of the most important things. There are two of these kind of obscure stories that I think are vitally important to us. The second one we'll get to in a moment. But the first one is this thing about the Federal Reserve Board. Most people don't understand, you know, even what the Federal Reserve Board is or what they do. And we don't need to get into a huge tutorial here about that. I mean, suffice it to say that one of the more important functions of the Fed is to set what's called the discount rate, the baseline rate of interest rates, the rate at which banks can borrow from each other and federal funds and all that sort of thing, and it is the defining point on which most of the other interest rates are built. And right now it's at 1.0%, the lowest it's been since the 1950s. Absolutely unprecedented. Immediately after George Bush was elected, Alan Greenspan, an unrepentant ultra-conservative, began cranking this thing down farther and farther and farther in an effort to make money cheaper, to make credit cheaper, to make it easier for people to borrow. And the result has been that a substantial part of the, quote, boom, the economic boom that has resulted from the tax cuts. Keep in mind, of Bush's tax cuts, Congressman Bernie Sanders for several years had been pushing for a $300 tax rebate to all Americans. And when George Bush first put together his tax cuts, it was largely exclusively for the rich. And then they said, well, let's incorporate everybody. So they took Bernie Sanders' idea and they just kind of tacked it on at the end. Oh, by the way, we'll take this liberal idea of $300 for everybody and we'll slap that on after we give, keep in mind, Dick Cheney got over $1 million in tax cuts last year. George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush both got more than $1 million in tax cuts last year. Being multimillionaires with huge salaries, Dick Cheney, of course, still drawing a salary from Halliburton. Which, yes, as I have predicted, he will be replaced by Rudy Giuliani. Mark my words. But anyhow, so the Fed has been holding down interest rates, and what we see is that a large chunk of this so-called recovery has really been fueled by people borrowing on the value of their homes. Now, the value of homes has been going up, although oddly it hasn't been tracked as part of the inflation rate. They've been playing with the inflation figures so that they don't have to pay people on Social Security more money. This is a bit of an aside, but for some reason our inflation figure, the cost of living index, which determines how much those of you who are on Social Security receive every month, has not been noticing the fact that over the last few years, as interest rates have gone down, home values, the cost of housing, the not the monthly payment cost, but the value of a house has been going up. There's been an explosion in housing prices around the United States, and of course in fuel prices. Well, they've been fiddling with the numbers, and we did a program on that a few weeks ago. I don't want to recap all that, but. One of the reasons that house prices have been going up is because people calculate what kind of a house they can afford. Can I afford a $100,000 house? Can I afford a $150,000 house? Can I afford a $50,000 house? Can I afford a $300,000 house? They calculate how much house they can afford based on what the monthly payments are. And when the interest rates for housing, as a result of the Fed setting the bottom rate at 1%, the banks, of course, have to make their profit, and so they charge you 4.5%, 3.75%, up to 5% in some cases, depending on your credit, to where you are in the country, you know, a lot of variables. The banks are charging you 5%. Your monthly payments are X, okay, whatever they are. If the interest rates go up, your payments start going up, which means you can't afford as much house. And so what's been happening is, as interest rates have been going down, the monthly cost of a house has been going down, and so people have been buying more and more expensive houses, or, more commonly, people have been refinancing their houses because their house now is worth more because other people are buying more expensive houses. The value of housing is going up. People have been refinancing their houses and taking that money, which they're basically borrowing from themselves. They're borrowing equity on their homes and using it to pay off, to put their kids through college, to maintain their lifestyle, to pay off their credit card debt, you know, to buy a new car, on it goes. And what we see is in the last 3 years in America, Americans have gone substantially farther in debt. In fact, we've gone more in debt in the last 4 years than we have in the last 20. In the 20 years prior to that, and the reason why is because it's been so easy to go into debt. It is relatively inexpensive. Now, everybody in the financial circles understands that when the Fed starts increasing interest rates, that this is unsustainable. They can't keep it at 1%. It's not possible. This is an entirely artificial situation that is there to keep George Bush electable and to prevent a disaster. They've been trying to prevent a deflation, a Great Depression, from happening. And as the cost of oil goes up dramatically because of another unrelated thing, because we're driving down the value of the dollar internationally to try and deal with the fact that we've lost our tariffs because of GATT and WTO, and I hope this isn't getting too complex. But anyhow, the value of the dollar has been going down, so the price of oil goes up. So we've got oil inflation and we have housing inflation. And eventually the Fed has to raise the interest rates in response to these things. And when they do, the monthly cost of housing is going to go up, which is going to cause the housing market to soften, which is going to cause people to not be able to borrow against their homes anymore, which is going to cause a crash in housing, and that's the last bubble that is holding together. It's the last little bit of glue that is holding this economy together. And that's why the stock market dropped 100 and some odd points, 141 points, I think it was, yesterday, when the Fed simply changed one word. Well, actually, it was two words. It was one phrase. They had originally said that they were going to keep this 1% rate for a considerable period. And yesterday, they replaced that language with, they are going to be patient. Now, everybody was thinking a considerable period meant well into 2005. Now everybody is thinking, patient. Maybe that just means up until the elections. Now some say they're doing it up until the elections to help out George Bush. Others say they're doing it up to the elections so they don't appear political. So nobody can accuse them of trying to sabotage George Bush. Because when those rates go up, the economy, to the extent that it has recovered feebly, you know, is going to go in the tank. The tax cuts, the middle-class tax cuts, the Bernie Sanders $300 that everybody got, has added a small amount of stimulus to the economy. The billions of dollars that we're spending in Iraq, to the extent that some of that is coming back to the United States, and the replenishment of the military has created a greater stimulus to the economy. Keep in mind, our entire foreign aid budget is typically in the neighborhood of $10 billion a year. And we have spent so far over $150 billion just in Iraq. That's 15 years of all of our foreign aid for the whole rest of the world combined. One of the reasons why many of the old-fashioned conservatives are so upset with George W. Bush. And so now we see that yesterday the Fed changed this one word, and there was a big sell-off in bonds because everybody's saying, hey, interest rates on bonds are going to go up. And so everybody who wants to hold bonds at low interest rates, current rate, and the stock market dropped. Now, it'll probably bounce back a little today. You know, people, these cycles go back and forth. That was an anticipatory thing. Everybody's waiting for the next shoe to drop. When does the patience of the Fed run out? So, anyhow, is the Fed playing with dynamite? Yes. Even more so. The Bush administration is playing with dynamite. They, you know, our economic policy, our fiscal policy, our tax policies, our defining the value of the dollar relative to international currencies, all of these things, they're cutting it right up to the edge of incredible danger. Incredible danger. If OPEC and the rest of the world decide that they're not going to denominate oil in dollars anymore and they're going to start denominating oil in euros, countries all over the world are going to say, hey, we don't need to keep dollar reserves anymore. We need to move into euro reserves so we can buy oil. They're going to dump dollars and they're not going to be wanting to buy our debt. Well, the China buying our debt and Japan buying our debt and Saudi Arabia buying our debt is the only thing that has been allowing George Bush to run this country deeper and deeper into debt. They've been loaning us the money. And if they say, well, you know, we're not going to do that anymore, then the only choice we'll have is to dramatically increase interest rates so that they'll get a better return on their investment, so they'll go back to buying our bonds. And when that happens, you can just write off the economy for the middle class of America. Now, the very rich are largely insulated from all of this. But this is the stuff that's going to whack the middle class. It's going to whack the middle class hard. And it already is. I mean, we've been seeing the Bush tax policy hitting the middle class. We're seeing local taxes going up. We're seeing the cutting of government services substantially hitting the middle class. We're seeing huge subsidies going to corporations, huge subsidies going to the rich. Those who earn their living sitting by the pool waiting for their dividend checks are paying no taxes at all, or very little tax, 15% at the most if it's capital gains, whereas those of us who work for a living are paying payroll taxes, paying income taxes, and on it goes. This is a potential disaster. Okay, that, I wanted to get that out of the way, and now we're going to go in. We got a few other things here I want to get into this hour, but I just keep an eye on this thing. Keep an eye on this. This is big. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
a... more tissues.
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious, connoisseurs love them, and they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions, and we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Veronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you, people who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I pledge allegiance to the corporations of the United States of America and to the plutocracy for which it stands, one nation, under CEOs, indivisible, with liberty and justice
for the corporations. Want government for the people and not just for the corporations? In 2004,
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. This from the Borowitz. Let me just make this real, what I was just talking about. If you have, here's what's going to happen when interest rates go up. If you have an adjustable rate mortgage, your mortgage payments are just going to start shooting through the roof. They're going to go up. Your credit card interest rates are going to go up and your monthly payments are going to go up. If you don't have an adjustable rate mortgage and housing values start falling in your community, which will happen when interest rates go up, there is a clause in your mortgage. If you didn't read all the fine print, it's in all of them now. There is a clause in your mortgage document that says that if the value of your home becomes less than the amount of your mortgage, then the bank can come to you and say, you either have to pay off the entire mortgage within a certain period of time, usually 60 to 90 days, or you have to pay them the equivalent of a backdoor down payment to bring the amount of, you have to pay them the difference between what your house used to be worth and what it's worth now. So if you had a house that was worth $150,000, interest rates go up, the housing market sags, that house is now worth $130,000, and you got $150,000 mortgage on it, the bank is going to come to you and say, give us $20,000 right now, or we're pulling this mortgage, and you're going to have to come up with a full $150,000. And we've seen this happen before in the United States, by the way. We go through these more or less 20-year cycles on these things. And, you know, I've lived through a couple of them, and I have seen it happen. I've seen people lose their homes over this. And this is what will happen when this happens. And that's why everybody is so spooked by it. It's like so strange. The Borowitz Report, borowitzreport.com. The CIA confused Saddam Hussein with Vidal Sassoon. By the way, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES if you want to call 1-800-825-5937. Back to Andy Borowitz. The biggest intel goof ever, David Kaye tells the Senate. Intercepted chatter that the Central Intelligence Agency thought was about Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein was actually about hairstyling wizard Vidal Sassoon. Former weapons inspector David Kaye told the Senate Armed Services Committee yesterday, referring to classified transcripts that were used to justify the war with Iraq, Mr. Kaye told his Senate inquisitors, quote, once you realize that they're talking about a hair salon pioneer and not a Middle Eastern madman, it really changes everything, end quote. Characterizing the Hussein-Sassoon mix-up as the, quote, biggest intel goof ever, end quote, Mr. Kaye went on to say that Mr. Sassoon was not seeking weapons of mass destruction, but rather, quote, lessons in mass production, end quote. Mr. Kaye said he felt that his line of shampoos, conditioners, and styling mousses could be produced more efficiently. While acknowledging that Mr. Sassoon was attempting to obtain chemical and biological agents, a red-faced Mr. Kaye conceded, quote, that's pretty much what shampoo is made of when you stop and think about it, end quote. Intercepted chatter supposedly about germ warfare, Mr. Kaye went on, was not about germ warfare at all, but about Germac hair care, a competitor of Mr. Sassoon's. While Mr. Kaye resisted the temptation to draw too many conclusions about the inappropriateness of U.S. military action in Iraq, he said, quote, there remains a troubling possibility that we invaded Iraq to prevent Vidal Sassoon from helping women restore body luster and shine to even the most damaged hair, end quote. Mr. Kaye concluded his testimony by really revealing that it now appears that Saddam Hussein was not attempting to acquire weapons of mass destruction, but may have logged onto WebMD, the popular medical advice website. From Andy Borowitz in the Borowitz Report, borowitzreport.com. Yes, what an interesting day we have. What's Walmart up to now? We're going to get into that right after this break. This is Tom Hartman helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
One soccer mom says she can speak for herself, and she's not saying what some politicians claim she is. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. It happened during a 2001 U.S. Senate debate over a bill to improve automobile fuel efficiency standards. A Democratic senator claimed soccer moms would get upset if anyone changed their SUVs. The measure failed. That result and the comment angered Betsy Rosenberg, a San Francisco reporter and soccer mom.
Those of us who were soccer moms said, "You didn't ask us. We do care about fuel efficiency. That's a plus. That's not a minus. You misspoke for us." So we decided to organize a grassroots campaign and try to educate soccer moms and other concerned Americans about not only the need for more fuel-efficient family-sized vehicles, but the presence of the same in compact sizes.
Rosenberg co-founded a campaign called Don't Be Fueled, Mothers for Clean and Safe Vehicles. It promotes safer, more efficient automobiles, including minivans and SUVs. It calls for a boycott of huge gas-guzzling vehicles, and the Don't Be Fueled campaign takes issue with the notion that bigger is safer.
And the irony is, the bigger the gas guzzler, the taller the vehicle, the more unsafe you are, and we all are around you, not to mention our children's lungs and contributing to global warming, greenhouse gas buildup. So what's sold as a safer vehicle is au contraire, just the opposite.
Rosenberg says her campaign will continue to push for more clean car options coming out of Detroit. As Rosenberg puts it, she's tired of both U.S. automakers and the federal government dragging their wheels on safer, more fuel-efficient cars. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and 8 years connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Middle of the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is Tom Hartman.
One, the second of the great underreported stories that I wanted to share with you. We talked about global warming just a couple of days ago and how it could plunge Britain and all of Europe, for that matter, into the next ice age within decades, perhaps within years, and that we may already be seeing the beginning of it with these extremely cold winters that we're experiencing both here in the northeastern United States and also in Europe. It turns out that the Pentagon has been modeling this, and they are absolutely flipped out about it in the Pentagon. Everything okay there, Louise? Yeah, okay. Is equipment working? Is everything? Yeah, everything's fine. The Pentagon has been. There's an article about this in Forbes or Fortune this month. I'll track it down and share it with you a little later on. But just how the Pentagon is very concerned about this because it could lead to
incredible geopolitical destabilizations and changes. Just absolutely incredible. That said, I want to move on to Walmart here. The TV commercial opens with a young couple on a sofa smiling at their toddler's son. As the boy nuzzles a stuffed animal and hugs his mother, his father explains that the youngster was born with liver disease and underwent two major surgeries by the time he was 7 years old. It's nice to know that I work for a company that would take care of everything we went through, the man says. The ad cuts to the man at work wearing a familiar blue vest with white logo as he says, I don't think people know how great the benefits are at Walmart. Without Walmart, we wouldn't, we would have made it. I don't think we would have made it. It's a dramatic tribute. This is from a Washington Post article by Greg Schneider, Walmart's Damage Control. It's a dramatic tribute that says nothing about Walmart store Inc.'s low prices or vast selection of products. Instead, the ad, part of a series called Good Jobs, launched last year, is aimed at healing Walmart's reputation. The Washington Post goes on to note they're stepping up their slate of feel-good television ads in 2004 with more spots featuring happy employees as well as examples of Walmart's community involvement. Walmart has also sharply increased its political donations, becoming the second biggest giver to candidates in the 2004 election cycle. Last year gave over just over a million dollars in November, as of November. That was last year. There wasn't an election last year. To politicians. The only organization to contribute more was Goldman Sachs Group, with nearly $1.6 million. Goldman Sachs, of course, is the group that figures if Social Security gets privatized, Goldman Sachs is going to make billions. So, of course, they're giving a few million. I mean, that's how it works. You buy politicians for a few million dollars, and you make back billions. It worked for Enron, it worked for Halliburton, it worked for Bechtel, it's working for Goldman Sachs is in line, where Exxon fell, on and on it goes. Not only, Mona Williams of Walmart says, not only are we more aggressive in our communications these days, but we are also becoming more savvy in using government affairs. Well, what is the situation with Walmart in the middle class? I want to get into that in a little bit of detail here. First, though, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, if you would like to be on the program today, if you have thoughts, comments, considerations, concerns, or whatever, 1-800-825-5937. And Roberta in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Roberta, welcome to the program. I guess KTRC got us back up and running.
Oh, they do. I was just going to call to say you've been cut off here. I wondered if it was some of our phone calls.
No. All right, so are you listening on the web right now or on KTRC?
Oh, well, KTRC has been down ever since Doug Steffen turned off.
Yeah, I called the station manager there just during the last break because some folks in our chat room were talking about it, and he said that not to worry, it's an internal problem. They're going to have it fixed. Everything's going to be fine. So,
I don't think it's on yet.
Yeah,
okay, well, I'm glad you took my call, Tom. I wanted to. Say, humor me. I don't want to say bite me, because that happened yesterday, Connor. I hope I didn't bite you. But I think you misunderstood, or I didn't articulate very well. I heard you quote me as saying something about George Lieberman, that I called Lieberman George. I never mentioned Lieberman in my rant. What I was doing was making a satirical remark about Prince George the Lesser, and you may have thought I said George Lieberman. Mm.
I frankly don't recall what you're talking about, Roberta. So
I was talking about how I thought Kerry was being anointed prematurely as the candidate, and I was trying to say, although I guess I didn't say it.
No, if the wages go up, the Walmart, the Walton family makes, instead of $8 billion a year, it might make $4 billion a year or $2 billion a year. I mean, you know, come on. Now, when this happened before was when the Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company in 1948 was doing the same thing. They had cornered the grocery store market, as it were, in the United States. They had about 80% of the entire supermarket business. One company, A&P. And in 1945, the antitrust laws, Judge Learned Hand in the U.S. versus Alcoa, when they broke up Alcoa Aluminum, he said, or forced them to stop what they were doing, he said, the organization of industry in small units, the goal of the Robinson-Patman Act was to make sure that the organization of industry in small units can effectively compete against each other. See, Walmart, just like A&P in 1948, is anti-free enterprise, anti-competition. This is monopoly, not capitalism or free enterprise. This is monopoly. Remember the game? The monopoly game was based on the monopolistic practices that we saw back in the late 19th century. And in order to win the game, you wipe out everybody else and own everything. And that's not healthy for democracy, and it's not healthy for an economy, and it's not healthy for capitalism, and it's not healthy for free enterprise. It is incredibly destructive. And in 1948, the United States government said, the Robinson-Patman Act says, A&P, you cannot do this. Just like under the Jimmy Carter administration, he said the same thing to AT&T. You cannot do this. We are going to break you up, or you are going to stop engaging in these practices. And it's time for Congress to act against Walmart. I mean, here we have a situation where Walmart, just this year, is opening 225 supercenters. That's about one for every business day this year. And every one of those is going to wipe out hundreds of local small businesses and depress the average wage in the community that they're going into. And where and who's picking up the slack on that? You and I are. People are going on welfare. People are taking public assistance in order to make up the difference in their salaries. People are working at Walmart, in some cases, are eligible for food stamps. They're showing up at emergency rooms for their health care. Yes, they're running these ads saying, oh, yes, my child was saved because of the health care I had through Walmart. Yeah, a few of their executives and some of their managers actually earn enough money that they can get health care. But not the vast majority of their employees. This is a disaster, a rolling disaster, my friends. And this is the classic example of when and where and how government should intervene in the market. After all, government is in the market. The market exists because of government. Government creates the substrate on which the market exists. Chuck in Charleston, is that Charleston, North Carolina? Charleston where, Chuck? Where are you?
West Virginia.
West Virginia. Charleston, West Virginia. Virginia has some thoughts on this. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, Tom? I hope you're having a good day.
Oh, yeah.
What's other than having to deal with Walmart still in the country. But, hey, my brother's a good Teamster truck driver for one of the vendors to Walmart, to the super Walmarts where they sell food and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And that ad's just a joke. He talks to the people on the back docks and them constantly every day.
Yeah,
and I mean they're begging. They hear him talk about having an actual union job, and I mean he says their jaws drop because it's sad to actually watch. Because to hear, when they're unloading his truck, you know he's around the water cooler and whatnot, and to hear the things that Walmart does to them, the 39-hour weeks and everything, just to keep them from getting benefits, is just. I won't shop at Walmart. I've done my best to keep my wife from shopping there, but being, you know, into finding bargains, it's hard to keep her out of there. And you know, I just, frankly, I won't go. But, I mean, that ad just is such a joke. And I'd like to see, what I'd love to see is the Teamsters go in and start, you know, I mean, eventually we're going to have a labor revolution in this country. And it's going to have to start with Walmart. And if the Teamsters just stop delivering to them, which my brother's a Teamster and he's all for it, he's like, heck, I'll walk the picket lines with them. you know, every day if you had to.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. I think, you know, we're out of time here, Chuck, but I agree with you, and I think the UFCW strike in California is dealing with a symptom, and we need to broaden this and deal with the cause. And the cause is that Walmart is in violation of the Robinson-Patman Act, and they need to be brought into line. Chuck, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We will be back. It's 10 minutes before the hour.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal celebrity boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
Show.
An email. email here from Jamie. Jamie has a great idea. He was listening to the program and heard the Brett Bercy segment. Our friend down in South Carolina, who was arrested outside a Bush campaign speech. Jamie says, I have an idea for getting close to Bush with protest signs. Make a sign that says, impeach Bush, or something of that nature. One word above the other. And then have a strip of paper that is the same color as the sign's background. On this strip of paper, you print something like re-elect. Lightly stick re-elect over impeach. Carry this sign to the Bush event, and after you are safely surrounded by pro-Bush hordes, remove the re-elect portion of the sign and hold it up.
We love Bush. We love Bush. We love Bush.
Impeach Bush.
Huh? You didn't know I'm going to say that, did you?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And dump the reds in a pile, boys. Dump the reds in a pile. You'd better wipe off that smile, boys. Better wipe off that smile. We'll spit through the streets of the cities we wreck, and we'll find you a leader that you can elect. Those treaties we signed were a pain in the neck. Cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world.
Phil Oakes and Cops of the World. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. Your light at the end of the tunnel of talk radio. 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number. Hank in Kalamazoo, Michigan is on the line. Hey, Hank, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Tom, how are you?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Hank?
Well, I'm doing okay, Tom, but I got to take a little bit of exception to the last caller that you had on there about having a labor rise up in this country. You know, this Walmart issue is a lot more in depth than just laying the groundwork on the surface. I think it's the easiest way to combat a retailer that you have problems with is simply, A, don't go to work for them, and B, don't shop there.
No, that doesn't work. Hank, it simply doesn't work. Number one, it doesn't work because you've got people who are desperate for a job. Alan Greenspan has stated that his policy is to maintain interest rates to the point where we've got a minimum of 6% unemployment in the United States to maintain what he calls, quote, worker insecurity, unquote. He's unambiguous about this, been reported, repeatedly quoted about this in the Wall Street Journal and other publications. So you have people who are desperate for jobs. You're not going to be able to tell them don't go to work for Walmart. Secondly, when Walmart comes into a community, people who, as the middle class is evaporating, more and more people are on tighter and tighter budgets. And if they've got cheap stuff, and they do, then they have to go there. And what that does is it wipes out your local businesses. I mean, here in Montpelier, Vermont, for example, I can't buy a pillow anywhere except Walmart within 100 miles of here. They've put out of business
except
all the local
stores. Except for the jobs that it took to build that pillow.
What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about,
the pillow
about
was made in China.
The more product that Walmart sells that's American made,
but they don't.
The more jobs that continue to stay in this country.
10% of all the Chinese goods sold in the United States are sold by Walmart. Hank, I mean, wake up, walk around, find a USA made label in Walmart. Good luck. Hank, thanks for the call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the place where smart people get their news.
Listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Nearly 2 million people are expected to exhaust their state unemployment benefits in the first half of the year without access to more government aid or a regular paycheck, according to a study released Thursday. The Center for Budget and Policy Priorities based its study on Labor Department data of jobless workers who began receiving regular unemployment checks in the last half of 2003. Republicans who control Congress say a third extension of the program providing 13 weeks of emergency benefits isn't necessary with unemployment declining, but Democrats hope to force an about-face on the issue in an election year. Facing a new Democratic frontrunner in John Kerry, George W. Bush's reelection campaign is quietly shifting gears, preparing for the possibility that it will confront a war hero and current senator. But the line of attack is the same. Whether Howard Dean or Curry, the Democrats' nominee would be a left-leaning New Englander who wants to raise taxes and reverse course on Iraq, campaign officials and Bush advisors say. At the same time, there is debate within Bush's administration and inside his reelection headquarters about how hard to strike at Curry of Massachusetts, who won the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary. He is a decorated war veteran, knowledgeable about domestic and foreign affairs, and has a certain gravitas and strength as a debater.
I just got attacked by Robert Novak.
That's New Hampshire activist Brad Carr, who has filed an assault complaint against CNN pundit Robert Novak for allegedly assaulting him outside a New Hampshire restaurant on Tuesday. In an IE America exclusive interview, Carr explains what happened.
I followed Robert Novak out and confronted him about the Valerie Plame incident, and I called him a traitor for outing a CIA agent, which is a federal offense, which he's not being held accountable for. He was heading towards his bus, and he turned around and grabbed me and shoved me and attempted to strike me. And some people who were standing there prevented him from doing that.
Anti-media groups have called for Novak to issue a public apology and to hand in his resignation from CNN. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Make a fast friend. Adopt an ex-racing greyhound. Greyhound Pets of America is a national nonprofit organization that finds loving homes for these friendly, loving ex-racers. Greyhounds make fantastic pets because they thrive on attention, generally get along great with children and other animals, and are usually pretty easy to housebreak. Call Greyhound Pets of America at 800-366-1472. Greyhound Pets of America, 800-366-1472.
A giant snowball stopped Dutch trains in their tracks Wednesday on a key route, and young pranksters thrilled by a rare snowfall were the prime suspects. Traffic on the Apeldoorn-Amersfoort route that also leads to Berlin was temporarily suspended. Weather experts say the first heavy snowfall for years could cause major traffic disruption. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Why is it that our national policymakers are so robustly optimistic and filled with such can-do enthusiasm when it comes to shoveling billions of our tax dollars into big federal projects favored by wealthy campaign donors, but fall into dismal depths of negativity and dispirited cries of no-can-do pessimism when it comes to paying for the things the majority of us Americans want and desperately need? Take health care. A glaring national need not only for the 43 million people without any coverage, but also for the many millions more who have insurance policies that are so inadequate, expensive, and riddled with insurance company loopholes that their coverage is next to useless. The prestigious Institute of Medicine has just issued a report saying that our country has a swelling health care crisis and that policymakers should respond with a universal program to provide affordable, high-quality health care to all. How did policymakers respond? With a big no way. Tommy Thompson, Secretary of the Health and Human Services Department, led the naysaying. I just don't think it's in the cards, he shrugged. I don't think that administratively or legislatively it's feasible. This guy is America's top health care official, faced with a crucial issue that personally affects the majority of Americans, yet he whimpers that good health care for everyone is simply beyond America's ability, so he won't even try for it. Ironically, the Institute's report and plea for action came the same day that Bush announced that he wanted to spend unlimited billions of our tax dollars to build a space station on the moon and send astronauts to Mars. His political aide said the futuristic Mars shot was a reflection of Bush's optimistic nature. This is Jim Hightower saying, fine, but how about we bring some of that optimism down to Earth where we all live? They should at least try to meet the real needs of real people in the here and now. If they're not up to this job, let's find someone who is.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? That's, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, friends. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border. It's Thursday afternoon, the second hour of our program. Time to explore a little beyond just the realm of politics that we're normally in, into all sorts of things that maybe you didn't know that you didn't even know.
You know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right. You suspect you're out of sync. You think that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong.
And is it possible that everything you know about the food in the stores is wrong? We have an expert on to talk about that, Michael Olson. Michael cultivated his first crop at the age of six with what he imagined at the time was the world's biggest tractor. He produced, wrote, and or photographed feature-length stories for a variety of media, including the San Francisco Chronicle, Examiner newspapers, skiing and small space gardening magazines, ABC, NBC, Australian Broadcasting Commission, and KQED Public Television Networks. His production and photography helped win him a National Emmy nomination for NBC Magazine with David Brinkley. Olson is the author of Metro Farm, an extraordinary book, the Ben Franklin Book of the Year finalist, and executive producer and host of the syndicated Saturday Food Chain Radio Talk Show, which received the Ag News Show of the Year Award from the California Legislature. Michael, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, thanks for having me, Tom. Great to be there.
I am glad you can be on. Michael, first of all, I want to get into Walmart with you a little bit, too, because I know that you're dealing with that issue, and I just did an hour on Walmart. But perhaps before we do, let's talk about your book and some of the topics in it.
Sure.
Why after decades of assault from policymakers, are consumers discovering that clean food is increasingly... for example, we know Bill Moyers the other day, last year I guess it was, did a show where they pulled blood out of his arm and they discovered 115 some odd different cancer-causing chemicals.
Right.
And the consensus was that the majority of those came out of the food supply. Why is it that it's so hard to find clean food these days?
Well, you know, Tom, there's two ways of looking at food that we have to be concerned about. First, we have to be concerned about the things that are in food that we don't want to be there. And then we have to look at the things that are not in food that we want to be there. So let's take your direction first and look at those things that we find in food that we don't want to be there.
Right.
I have a rule, like I call it Michael Olson's irrefutable law of the universe number one.
Okay.
That says that the farther away we get from the source of our food, the less control we have over what is in that food.
Plus, the less fresh it is. I mean, we get stuff picked super green.
That goes
green
without saying, of course.
Yeah.
You buy a
yeah.
tomato from that's grown in Guatemala, and you know it's not going to be a fresh tomato, no matter how fresh they say it is.
Yeah.
And like fresh fish, you know, a fish that they call fresh is simply fish that has not been frozen yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be like 18 days old and still be fresh fish. Simply because it has not been frozen.
Yuck.
But amen to that. Woo,
yeah.
Hold your nose, right?
Yeah, but pardon me, I interrupted you. You were going somewhere with that thought.
Yes, so as we look around our community of here in the United States, we see a lot of situations lately where there are a lot of things in food that we don't want to be there. The scallion incident in Pittsburgh and Atlanta comes to mind. Over 600 people in one Pittsburgh-area Mexican restaurant came down with hepatitis A because the scallions were, in essence, steeped in fecal-contaminated ice water from Mexico for a week before they were put on the table.
Yeah.
And so that's an example of, you know, how when things are growing really far away from us, we have very little control over what's in them.
Yeah, this has happened all over the country, hasn't it?
All over the country, yes.
Yeah.
Another example is the downed dairy cow in Washington State that was put into the food chain and it was infected with bovine spongiform encephalopathy or mad cow disease. Now, if you look at the situation here in the United States, the average consumer now buys food or consumes food that was grown an average of 1,400 miles away. So when we go to the store and we buy something, that something comes from an average of 1,400 miles away. Now, there's just a lot of things that can happen when something is grown 1,400 miles away from us.
Yeah.
Now, let's say that those scallions were grown locally by a local farmer. Do you think that farmer would be a little more concerned about what kind of ice water he's steeping these scallions in before he puts them out in the market?
Well, for that matter, he would have the choice of using, you know, local fresh water or at least local water that we're all used to. I mean,
yes, and even more importantly than that, he would be very concerned about where that water came from because these onions are going to his community.
Right.
Now, if he were to put these onions out in the community and make 600 people sick with hepatitis A, how long would he be hanging around the neighborhood?
Yeah.
And similarly, with that dairy farmer in Washington State, were he to sell that down dairy cow to his neighbors and friends and fellow residents of that community, how long do you think he would be in business? So thus Michael Olson's irrefutable law of the universe, the farther away we get from the source of our food, the less control we have over what's in that food.
Okay.
And it just goes without saying, 76 million people became sick last year from the food that they ate.
In the United States.
In the United States. 76 million people became sick because of what was in the food that we eat. Now, we look at this and say, well, where's the most dangerous food? Well, it turns out the most dangerous food, in terms of the number of people getting sick, are fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, we think that beef is very dangerous and pork is very dangerous, but twice as many of us get sick from fruits and vegetables.
Is that because we don't cook them or because they're more frequently contaminated?
Yes. Both?
Both.
Both.
I see. Okay.
Both. And again, you know, it gets down to that rule of the universe. You know, that we're buying these things that are produced 1,400 miles away, and it's just hard to be concerned about, you know, the consumers when you never see them and they never see you, and then there's 15 people and 1,400 miles in between you.
Right. Now, this is the issue of what's in the food. What about what's not in the food?
Well, back in 1931, the U.S. Senate came out with a document warning that the food we're now eating is becoming deficient in essential nutrients. And the reason it's becoming deficient is that we are growing food in soils that have been mined of their mineral nutrition over the years. Mm-hmm. Now, that was in 1931. So a long 70 years ago, we were warned that the food is becoming deficient in essential nutrients. We've been growing food intensively in the same soil for 70-some years since then, and for the most part only adding the minerals nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium.
Yeah, so down it goes. All the other nutrients, they're vanishing. You know, and so what do we do about this? I mean, you know, people take vitamin pills and things, but...
Yeah, let me give you a quick... In 1947, a Midwest university did a study on the mineral content of spinach. This mm-hmm. was right after World War II. They took some commercial spinach and they boiled it down and said, well, this is exactly what we're getting in terms of mineral nutrition. They've been following that same commercial spinach through the years, and today, to get the same amount of mineral nutrition we did in 1947, we'd have to eat 18 bowls of that spinach.
Yeah, it's like the total commercials.
Exactly.
Yeah. Except those are added, those are nutrients that are added back in a very small part of the broad spectrum of nutrients. Okay, Michael, in your book, I mean, the focus of your book are these metro farms where you're talking
exactly.
about how you can grow your own food in your own backyard pretty much anywhere in the United States and how small farmers also can average $120,000 an acre a year with metro farms?
Let's go through that because it's a very important point. You know, for the past 50 years, ag economists have been telling farmers to get bigger, get out. But how on earth, you know, so consequently, farmers in farm country have become larger and larger and larger. So when you go out in farm country, what you see now are fewer and fewer farmers growing crops on larger and larger parcels of land and growing fewer and fewer crops.
Right.
So how on earth does that address the needs and demands of a population of hungry people in the city? We city people like huevos rancheros for breakfast. We like snow peas with shiitake mushrooms for lunch and pasta with pesto for dinner. We decorate our yards with dwarf peach trees from China. We put these fancy orchids in our homes. We like these new and exotic things. We like beautiful things, colorful things, exciting things. So how on earth are those farmers in the country that are operating on these massive scales, how are they addressing the needs of city people? Now, if you go to the Census of Agriculture, which is a very interesting statistic, in the farm country of Iowa, the average farm earns an average of $313 per acre per year. Okay? You go to the city of San Francisco, the average acre of farmland within the city limits of San Francisco is earning $123,000 per acre.
Whoa!
Per year.
Buy farmland in cities.
Or grow crops for the city, because
right.
that's where the market is, that's where the hunger is.
Right.
And it, you know, we all know what's happening with our food chain. We all know that food that we're getting is not carrying sufficient nutrients, and it is carrying things that we simply do not want.
Yeah. Now, the last time I was in London, some friends of mine who live there took me. They subscribed to two programs. One is they took me on a Saturday down to this place where there's an area in London. I mean, this is in the city. It wasn't downtown, but it was, you know, on peripheral to downtown, where there's about a, I don't know, 2 or 3 acre lot that has been divided into little portions, little squares that are like 50 by 100 feet or maybe 50 by 70 feet that they rent out. And, you know, it's like $100 a year or something like that, or a season, and they have a little shed, and I've seen these all over Germany for, you know, the year that I lived in Germany, 86, everybody does this also, but it's now become a big fad in England, and they grow their own food, and people go out on Saturdays, and they've got these huge gardens, plus they were growing it in their backyard. Right. Now, in addition to that, they also subscribe to this thing called what they call the organic box scheme, mm-hmm. Where they paid, you know, whatever it was, you know, $100 a month in advance, either in advance, sure, or guaranteed monthly payments throughout the year to a local organic farmer in the 30 seconds. Right. In the 30 seconds or so we have left in this segment, how can people do that here in the United
Same
States?
Same thing here. They're called community-supported agriculture, or CSAs.
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do is Google CSA or community-supported agriculture, and you'll be able to track down something like that in your neighborhood.
Right. Or even do it yourself. Michael Olson, thank you. Your book, Metro Farm, is available in bookstores everywhere, I assume?
Yes, and at metrofarm.com. That's the place to get it, because it comes right for me.
Great. Metrofarm.com. Michael Olson, thank you so much for being with us today, Michael.
Good to be aboard, Tom.
I appreciate your call, or your being on the program. Thank you. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. Stay tuned. 20 minutes after the hour, we'll be back.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services, from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I thought I'd found a man I could trust. What a bust. This is how the story ends. He's gonna turn me down and say, can't we be friends?
Yes, I thought I knew the wheat from the chaff. What a laugh. This is how the story ends. I let her turn me down. Say, can't we be friends?
And welcome back, friends. It's Tom Hartman, Truth and Common Sense in broadcasting. Boy, I learned so much from the folks in the chat room. We got a chat room full of folks here. You can find it at tomhartman.com. Click on the chat room link. It'll take you to a forum in CompuServe. Click on the chat button, and boom, you're in. Point of information, Tom says, Furbolg CS. Point of information for Tom, the English system called allotments. And yes, I remember now. That's what they called it. They called it their allotment. And I thought, what an odd name. Dates from World War II and went into a slump only during the 80s. But they are making a strong comeback beyond self-sufficiency. And, yeah, that was my experience when I was over there. Thank you for sharing that. And of course, here in the United States, during World War II, we had these things called victory gardens, where people grew their own gardens. And you would take the food from the garden, and the government was encouraging people to turn their lawns into gardens. And the year that we lived in Germany, back in 86, we found that we lived in a little town called Stadtsteinach, and probably a quarter, I would say, more or less, about a quarter of the homes in Stadtsteinach, people's front yards and their backyards as well, but I mean, they would even take their front yards, were vegetable gardens. And they were very beautiful. I mean, they were elegantly put together, and they looked very nice, but they were vegetable gardens, and they would grow a lot of their own food. And when we came back from Germany, we had a house in Atlanta in a neighborhood where it was illegal to plant vegetables in your front yard. It was just, it's like, what has happened? What has happened? I mean, you know, in trying to imitate the British aristocracy, the whole point of lawns, you know, back 300-400 years ago, the reason why grass became popular was because it was a way of saying, we are so rich, we don't need to grow food. We have peasants to grow food. And that, you know, that was what the British aristocracy did. And so while every peasant home had food growing all away or all around it, the aristocratic homes had grass. And so in America, you know, we wanted to be like the, you know, there were the petty bourgeois. We wanted to be like the British. Well, anyway, I'm off on a rant. Let's get back to what's really going on here. This Reuters story, this, when I saw this, I said, I knew it. I knew it was going to happen. We talked about this last week when I said Osama is going to be captured before the fall elections right now. And I figured it would be George Bush's October surprise. And I'm betting he figured it would be, too. But see, every time these guys start getting really into trouble, they pull something out of the hat. And George W. is really in trouble right now with this with the evidence piling up that he lied his way into a war and that over 500 of our young men and women died because Bush lied. And Clinton lied, nobody died. But with Bush, it was a little different, and people are starting to get upset. In fact, look at the huge response we saw in New Hampshire. All those independents showing up at the polling places. This does not bode well for George Bush's future. Primary independent voters were 45% of the record turnout of 200,000 people in New Hampshire. 7 out of 10 independents who voted in the primary said the nation's economy is not in good shape. 9 out of 10 said they're worried about the economy over the next few years. 8 out of 10 said the Bush tax cuts should be canceled altogether. Most were concerned about the war. I mean, this guy is in trouble. So now we have this story. Well, I'll tell you about it in detail after this break. But we have this story where Bush is going to invade Pakistan to get Osama as quickly as possible. Mark my words. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. I'll be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
One soccer mom says she can speak for herself, and she's not saying what some politicians claim she is. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. It happened during a 2001 U.S. Senate debate over a bill to improve automobile fuel efficiency standards. A Democratic senator claimed soccer moms would get upset if anyone changed their SUVs. The measure failed. That result and the comment angered Betsy Rosenberg, a San Francisco reporter and soccer mom.
Those of us who were soccer moms said, "You didn't ask us. We do care about fuel efficiency. That's a plus. That's not a minus. You misspoke for us." So we decided to organize a grassroots campaign and try to educate soccer moms and other concerned Americans about not only the need for more fuel-efficient family-sized vehicles, but the presence of the same in compact sizes.
Rosenberg co-founded a campaign called Don't Be Fueled, Mothers for Clean and Safe Vehicles. It promotes safer, more efficient automobiles, including minivans and SUVs. It calls for a boycott of huge gas-guzzling vehicles, and the Don't Be Fueled campaign takes issue with the notion that bigger is safer.
And the irony is, the bigger the gas guzzler, the taller the vehicle, the more unsafe you are, and we all are around you, not to mention our children's lungs and contributing to global warming, greenhouse gas buildup. So what's sold as a safer vehicle is au contraire, just the opposite.
Rosenberg says her campaign will continue to push for more clean car options coming out of Detroit. As Rosenberg puts it, she's tired of both U.S. automakers and the federal government dragging their wheels on safer, more fuel-efficient cars. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman, the Tom Hartman Radio Program, where despair is not an option. U.S. plans spring offensive in Pakistan. That's the headlines from Reuters yesterday. The U.S. military is making plans for an offensive that would reach inside Pakistan in coming months. This was reported in the Chicago Tribune on Wednesday. The plans involved thousands of U.S. troops, some of them already in neighboring Afghanistan. Now, the Pakistani government is saying, we don't know about no stinking plans. Of course, they've got to say that. If Musa Sharif was implicated in this thing, there have been two assassination attempts against this guy in the last few months. He is hanging on. I mean, he's hanging on by a thread. Of course, he's a dictator. I mean, he was not elected. He took power in a coup. Of course, he's our buddy, but, you know. and now the Taliban is reappearing in Afghanistan, coming from Pakistan. And they've figured out that Osama bin Laden is in there, protected by these two rings of people, one about 180 miles away from him and another couple hundred miles beyond that. They've got like two rings in these tribal regions of Pakistan along the Afghan border. And the U.S. has decided we're going to go in and take these guys out, even if Pakistan doesn't want it. Major General Shaktut Sultan told Reuters, no foreign forces will operate from Pakistan's territory. But military sources, this according to the Reuters article, described as well-placed by the newspaper, said, quote, before we were constrained by the border. Musharraf did not want that. Now we are told we're going to Pakistan with Musharraf's help. So we'll see. We'll see. Are we going to go in and capture Osama and parade his head around on a stick? I would bet $50 it's going to happen in the next month or so. And that some sort of action is going to happen quick to divert people from this disaster in Iraq and to try and again tie Iraq back to Afghanistan, 9/11, and Osama bin Laden. Bush desperately needs to put people in America back to sleep. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Terry in California is on the line. Hey, Terry, where in California are you?
Petaluma, about 35 miles north of San Francisco.
Great area. Well, what's up, Terry?
Well, I hate to digress, but I'd like to touch on a topic that you barely did get into concerning the food, and it's actually the aspect of the water.
Yeah.
I don't think most people realize that we only have about, even though they think there's a lot of water out there in the oceans and everything, only about 2% of it or less than 2% of it is potable, and we're depleting that very rapidly.
And half of that is locked up in glaciers.
Yes, and also the scientists just declared a few months ago that they cannot remove all of the chemicals that are in it now. That we cannot get pure water anymore.
Right.
And here in California, we've had a heck of a problem with it because of this MTBE, which has been leaking out of the fuel tanks. It just goes right out of the storage tanks and the facilities they've had. I've seen some graphic representations of the plumes that are formed by those leakages and how they go down into the water tables.
Right.
And
it is super. It is just super, super water-soluble stuff. And that's the stuff that George Bush and his buddies want to make it illegal for local communities to sue the manufacturers of MTBE to stop.
We've told them we didn't want it, and we've been trying to take it out of there, and they said okay, but they keep putting off the period before they're taking it out. I mean, they refuse to remove it. Another example of a big problem we have is like the Southern Colorado River. Recently, where they found all kinds of bad chemicals in there, and they've been putting that on the lettuce now for some time. in massive amounts in Southern California from the Colorado River. So it's just the water is just terrible, and you know it's not ideal. It'd be great to grow our own stuff, but we're killing ourselves.
Yeah, but the bottom line is that you know that's the water all over the place, you know, we need to. This is really a two-pronged attack. Number one, we need to be working to try and clean up our water and our air, and our food supply. And number two, growing stuff locally, buying from people who grow locally, buying organic, isn't weird and eccentric stuff like people thought it was in the 40s and 50s and 60s. It is survive. This is a survival skill. When you're talking about the average person in America has more than 100 carcinogens, known cancer-causing chemicals in their bloodstream as a result largely of the food that they're eating, this is a very real problem.
Did you hear about this guy that went for a year and had a doctor monitor him? He went for a year of eating only at McDonald's?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's in my list of things to talk about in the third hour of our program today. Filmmaker eats at McDonald's for 30 days, almost dies. I got the whole story here.
Thank you again, Tom.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling, Terry. Thanks for listening to the program. I appreciate it. So, political dynamite for Pakistani president. Yes, okay, we've done that. Climate collapse. This is. I just wanted to recap this. I mentioned this in the first hour. I want to just, you know, lay out the scenario a little farther. By the way, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. If you, even if you still want to discuss John Kerry, they're very strange. This morning I heard Doug Steffen, who is the nation's third largest morning talk show host. And I know he's carried on some of our affiliate stations and not others, so some people know who I'm talking about, others don't, saying that if John Kerry was nominated, he would vote for George W. Bush. And I'm like, whoa, what happened here? What are your thoughts on that? I mean, it's okay. Here, Fortune magazine. I mentioned this. I didn't have the article in hour one stack. Here it is in hour two stack. Fortune magazine. This in the current issue of Fortune magazine. An article titled Climate Collapse: The Pentagon's Weather Nightmare, an article by David Stipp. And he says, in fact, the prospect, and what he's talking about is what I had shared with you, I think it was on Tuesday of this week, it might have been Monday, about the Great Conveyor Belt, that part of it that passes by the United States. We refer to it as the Gulf Stream, this current, this ocean. It's 40, in this article he says 40 times, what I'd seen was 100 times larger than all the rivers on Earth combined. This river of warm water coming from the Pacific around the southern coast of South America, up along the coast of South America, across the equator where it picks up all this heat. It actually starts out warmer to begin with because it's coming from the Pacific, and the Pacific is warmer than the Atlantic, and the Pacific is higher than the Atlantic. And so the Atlantic is continually drawing water in from the Pacific. And this warm water from the Pacific comes up along the, you know, across the equator, comes up along the coast of Mexico, off the coast of Florida. We call it the Gulf Stream there. It goes up the eastern seaboard of the United States, out across the Atlantic, and then falls as it crosses the Atlantic. It is, because it's warmer than the rest of the water, it's evaporating water like crazy. And it gets saltier and saltier and cooler until it reaches a point where it's so much saltier than the water around it, because it has been evaporating water, because it's warmer, that it just falls to the surface, falls to the bottom of the ocean, miles down, creates this whirlpool, and then there's this river of water that flows at the surface, at the bottom of the ocean, down along the coast of Europe, along the coast of Africa, and back out into the Pacific. It's called the Great Conveyor Belt. And this article suggests abrupt climate change may well occur in the not-too-distant future. If it does, the need to rapidly adapt may overwhelm many societies, therefore upsetting the geopolitical balance of power. This is why the Pentagon is worried. Though triggered by warming, such change would probably cause cooling in the northern hemisphere, leading to longer, harsher winters in the U.S. and Europe. Worse, it would cause massive droughts, turning farmland to dust bowls and forests to ashes. Picture last fall's California wildfires as a regular thing. Or imagine similar disasters destabilizing nuclear powers such as Pakistan or Russia. It's easy to see why the Pentagon has become interested in abrupt climate change. And there's actually even going to be a movie about this coming out next year. You know, I thought this was new stuff. I opened my book, The Edison Gene, by talking about this. This book came out a few months ago. And it's in the update to Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, which Random House published, and there's an update coming up on that. And that's that little movie that you can see at LeonardoDiCaprio.com. Talks about these things, but which was inspired by my book, Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight. And now, you know, it's Dennis Quaid is going to be in a movie as a scientist trying to protect the world from an ice age caused by global warming. It'll be interesting to see what their solution is. One of the solutions that I've heard proposed, that William Calvin in his book A Brain for All Seasons talks about, is taking the world's nuclear arsenal and using it to blow up Panama. See, back when Panama, when the Isthmus of Panama was open ocean, and it was about a 200-mile wide and about a mile and a half deep gap, the Pacific flowed right into the Atlantic. It warmed up the Atlantic, and it caused Europe and North America, the eastern part of North America, to have a climate sort of like Oregon. And once there was tectonic activity a couple million years ago, and Panama filled in, and that was when we went into the ice age that we're technically still in, and we oscillate between severe and less severe periods of it. So anyway, that's everything you wanted to know about weather change, but we're afraid to ask. But the Pentagon is asking, and they're drawing up contingency plans, even though the Bush administration still officially insists that global climate change is nothing to worry about. It's no big deal. It doesn't exist. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Rodney in Grand Rapids, Michigan is on the line. Hey, Rodney, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
What's up?
I'm calling in. I just wanted to say that I'm for anybody but Bush, but are we so eager as voters to vote up Bush that we're jumping on the Who's Popular polls for our candidate of choice? We should be concerned of Live Carey's 26% voting record and his affiliation of corporate power good old boy clubs like Skull and Bones who believe in one world order. Also, is he our best choice for workers' rights and to stand up to corporate powers when his wife is a corporate power?
Yeah, well, her money came from a corporate power anyway. She doesn't run a corporate power. But, you know, I understand what you're saying, Rodney. And what I haven't been hearing, frankly, is from people calling and saying, I'm for Kerry and here's why. And I would like to know, you know, why, you know, and I'm going to have to spend some time on this guy's website and learn more about him. But, you know, I would like to know what are Kerry's redeeming qualities? I don't recall any major legislation with his name on it. You know, it's not like the McCain-Feingold Act, you know, where John McCain is all over the place. Of course, he's not a Democrat, but, you know, for example, Russ Feingold is a Democrat. His name is on. Do you know of any major legislation in all his years in the Senate that John Kerry has authored or promoted?
No, not really, but one thing that I do think is pretty interesting is that when they had the New Hampshire primary, that the polls that they took, that people that were voting on issues voted for Dean.
Right, and people
and
who
the people that just wanted to vote for somebody that they thought could beat George Bush, they voted for Kerry.
Well, see, this is where, and in the middle of the Iowa caucuses. I mean, before the Iowa caucuses happened, it was maybe 3 or 4 days ago, maybe a week before the election happened. I was on the air here and I said, you know, I don't know if anybody from any of the campaigns is listening, but I'm telling you right now, and I was hoping that the Howard Dean camp was listening in particular. I'm telling you right now that the main thing that voters are concerned about is, and this is very different from previous years, is not the issues. People are not concerned about who's got the best program for labor, who's got the best program for the economy, who's going to get us out of the war most eloquently or elegantly, who can, you know, they're concerned about who can beat George Bush. We have a train wreck going on in the White House. And I said, you need to recalibrate your campaign advertising away from, here's my positions on the issues, which worked so well for Bill Clinton back, you know, 8 years ago, or 10, 12, 11 years ago, 12 years ago. And now, instead of focusing on the issues, focus on electability. And John Kerry has successfully done that, and I don't think that the Howard Dean campaign did that in Iowa. I haven't seen all of their campaign ads, but the ones I've seen didn't focus on that, and Kerry's did. And I think Kerry was doing that in New Hampshire. I didn't see all of the ads. We get some of them here in Vermont. And Kerry's ads were these soft focus, you know, this guy can win, and he all, you know, quoting him, I'm looking forward to taking on George W. Bush. And Howard Dean was still talking about the issues, and it's a mistake, a strategic mistake, in my opinion. And, you know, I just hope that with this new campaign manager, Howard Dean can get his act together. But, you just wonder he's, you know, not, it's been, I don't think anybody has ever lost both Iowa and New Hampshire and gone on to get the presidency. I may be wrong. But are you seeing some things the same way here, Rodney?
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, interesting, too, that a lot of the poll results that we're getting, people need to take into consideration, like the New Hampshire primary, that Republicans can vote in that primary too. And
yeah.
So how can we actually trust the total results that we're getting if the Republican voters are going to make the polls not accurate?
Yeah, well, that's one side of it. For a Republican to vote in the New Hampshire primary, they have to re-register themselves as either an independent or a Democrat. And there are probably a lot of people who are philosophically Republicans who are registered as independents. But the fact, though, that so many independents showed up and voted in the New Hampshire primary says to me not that the Republicans are in there playing games, but rather that there are people who used to be referred to as the Reagan Democrats, the folks who have crossed over and traditionally and voted for candidates who traditionally were part of the Democratic constituency and have joined the Republicans at various times, that they're fed up. They're saying, you know, this guy is toxic. He is destructive to the United States. He's harming our economy. He's killing our young men and women. He's creating disasters in the world. We are not viewed, you know, sympathetically as we once were. And it's time to throw him out. Rodney, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the True People's Radio. Stay tuned. I'll be back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
An interview with George and Pickles from the current issue of Ladies Home Journal. They're asked about what September 11, 2001 was like for them personally. Although over 3,000 people had just perished, George W. was able to find some humor by the end of the day. The day ended on a relatively humorous note. The agent said, "You'll be sleeping downstairs." And I said, "No, we like our own bed." So I told the agent, "We're going upstairs." And the agent comes running up and says, "Run your tack, we need you downstairs." So there we go. I'm in my running shorts and my t-shirt, and I'm barefooted, got the dog in one hand, Laura had the cat.
I don't have my contacts in, and I'm in my fuzzy house slipper.
We're heading straight down to the basement because there's an incoming unidentified airplane which is going here toward the White House, and then the guy says it's a friendly airplane, and we hustle all the way back upstairs and go to bed.
And we just lay there thinking about the way we must have looked.
We got a laugh out of it.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman. Remember back on September 17th when a reporter said to George Bush, "You know, most Americans think Osama bin Laden had something to do with 9/11. Is that the case?" And George Bush said,
"We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th."
Yeah. I did say Saddam Hussein, didn't I? Or did I say Osama bin Laden? Excuse me. I said Osama. Thank you, John. It was Saddam Hussein associated with 9/11.
"We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
See, he's even done it to me. It's mixing these things up. Incredible. Anyhow, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Florence in Grand Rapids, Michigan is on the line. Hey, Florence, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi. I just discovered you this week. I don't know how long you've been in Grand Rapids, but thankfully I discovered you. And when you were talking about Senator Kerry, an email came to mind that I got yesterday from the Institute for Public Accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
And in it is an open letter to John Kerry on Iraq. It's written by one of his, what they call themselves, the group that fought against the...
The Vietnam Veterans against
the war. S. Brian Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dated 10-20-02.
Yeah, we only have about a minute, Florence.
Well, I want you to get it. See if you can find it, because it's most interesting.
Okay.
It's not a very favorable letter for Senator Kerry.
Don't you think, though, Florence, that anybody who's been in the public life for three decades is going to have some negatives in their past as well as positives, and that it's easy to play to one or the other and mischaracterize somebody?
Well, he's being accused here of changing his beliefs.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it if you're not going to use it to get to be president of the United States. Use your military when you turn your back on the people that you sided with 30 years ago.
Hmm. Interesting. I'll
have
to check that out.
Really read the letter.
I will do it. I will look for it. Florence, thank you for the call. I'm sorry, the music means we're out of time. But thank you for calling. I truly appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con and conservative.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder. From the sirens night and day. From the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Is on the front in Playboy.
I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Facing a new Democratic frontrunner in John Kerry, George W. Bush's reelection campaign is quietly shifting gears, preparing for the possibility that it will confront a war hero and current senator. But the line of attack is the same. Whether Howard Dean or Kerry, the Democrats' nominee would be a left-leaning New Englander who wants to raise taxes and reverse course on Iraq, campaign officials and Bush advisors say. At the same time, there is debate within Bush's administration and inside his reelection headquarters about how hard to strike at Kerry of Massachusetts, who won the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary. He is a decorated war veteran, knowledgeable about domestic and foreign affairs, and has a certain gravitas and strength as a debater. A roadside bomb exploded Thursday in the central Iraqi city of Bakuba, wounding 11 Iraqis a day after thousands of Shiite Muslims protested in the south to demand the resignation of the U.S.-appointed provincial governor. In the latest suicide attack, a vehicle disguised as an ambulance blew up Wednesday in front of a hotel used by Westerners, killing three people, including a South African. The protest by about 10,000 people in the town of Nasiriyah was the latest sign of growing empowerment of Iraq's majority Shiites, who were repressed for decades by Saddam Hussein's Sunni-dominated regime.
I just got attacked by Robert Novak.
That's New Hampshire activist Brad Carr, who has filed an assault complaint against CNN pundit Robert Novak for allegedly assaulting him outside a New Hampshire restaurant on Tuesday. In an IE America exclusive interview, Carr explains what happened.
I followed Robert Novak out and confronted him about the Valerie Plame incident, and I called him a traitor for outing a CIA agent, which is a federal offense, which he's not being held accountable for. He was heading towards his bus, and he turned around and grabbed me and shoved me and attempted to strike me. And some people who were standing there prevented him from doing that.
Anti-media groups have called for Novak to issue a public apology and to hand in his resignation from CNN. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Make a fast friend. Adopt an ex-racing greyhound. Greyhound Pets of America is a national nonprofit organization that finds loving homes for these friendly, loving ex-racers. Greyhounds make fantastic pets because they thrive on attention, generally get along great with children and other animals, and are usually pretty easy to housebreak. Call Greyhound Pets of America at 800-366-1472. Greyhound Pets of America, 800-366-1472.
Someone lifted a 170-pound bronze statue of Yoda, the Star Wars Jedi Master. The theft from a flatbed truck was reported to police last weekend, and the owner has offered a $1,000 reward for its return. The limited edition bronze is worth up to $20,000. The statue was bolted to a flatbed truck parked overnight at a Pasadena motel, but someone loosened the bolts and grabbed Yoda that night or early the next morning. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, Matthew.
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Why is it that our national policymakers are so robustly optimistic and filled with such can-do enthusiasm when it comes to shoveling billions of our tax dollars into big federal projects favored by wealthy campaign donors, but fall into dismal depths of negativity and dispirited cries of no-can-do pessimism when it comes to paying for the things the majority of us Americans want and desperately need? Take health care. A glaring national need not only for the 43 million people without any coverage, but also for the many millions more who have insurance policies that are so inadequate, expensive, and riddled with insurance company loopholes that their coverage is next to useless. The prestigious Institute of Medicine has just issued a report saying that our country has a swelling health care crisis and that policymakers should respond with a universal program to provide affordable, high-quality health care to all. How did policymakers respond? With a big no way. Tommy Thompson, Secretary of the Health and Human Services Department, led the naysaying. I just don't think it's in the cards, he shrugged. I don't think that administratively or legislatively it's feasible. This guy is America's top health care official, faced with a crucial issue that personally affects the majority of Americans, yet he whimpers that good health care for everyone is simply beyond America's ability, so he won't even try for it. Ironically, the Institute's report and plea for action came the same day that Bush announced that he wanted to spend unlimited billions of our tax dollars to build a space station on the moon and send astronauts to Mars. His political aide said the futuristic Mars shot was a reflection of Bush's optimistic nature. This is Jim Hightower saying, fine, but how about we bring some of that optimism down to Earth where we all live? They should at least try to meet the real needs of real people in the here and now. If they're not up to this job, let's find someone who is.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. Boy, so much to talk about. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border. Here we are on terrestrial radio stations from west coast to east, also streaming down from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, Sirius Stream 143. And beaming around the planet on various internet stations, live365.com, ieamericaradio.com, and the biggest, best, and my favorite, radiopower.org, a listener-supported radio station worthy of your support. Our program brought to you, by the way, by Small Dog Electronics, the Organic Wine Company, and the Newsletter Factory. Please patronize our sponsors. David Sirota's newsletter here today, the American Progress Center for American Progress, americanprogress.org. White House spokesman Scotty McClellan, the day before yesterday, I think some in the media have chosen to use the word imminent. These are not words we used. Well, fortunately, there are things called archives. Back on February 10th, Scott McClellan, the very same Scott McClellan, said, and I quote, "This is about imminent threat," end quote. Now, here's where this kind of falls into the category of stupid conservative jokes. It's almost worthy of, well, what the heck. Here we go. We'll play the our conservative alert music, if they only had a brain. On January 27th of 04... George Bush said, and I quote, "Iraq did not let inspectors in." And Pat Roberts, just a couple days ago, Senator Pat Roberts, the one who was the chairman of the hearings that David Kaye was testifying at yesterday, you'll recall, the one who said, "Well, I don't think that we need to investigate the administration. I mean, certainly we don't need to have any talk about a private or separate or independent investigation." Well, an investigation by the Republican-led Congress is still underway into these intelligence failures. Pat Roberts was asked on one of the various news programs, I don't recall which one, why we had to attack Iraq, if in fact there weren't any weapons of mass destruction there. And he said, well, if there weren't weapons of mass destruction, he said, and I quote, from January 25th of this year, about 4 days ago, and I quote, "Why on earth didn't Iraq let the UN inspectors in and avoid the war?" End quote. So here you have the President of the United States and the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee both claiming that Iraq would not allow inspectors in. And they are both lies. Well, not truths. Untruths. According to the United States State Department, UN weapons inspectors entered Iraq on November 27th of 2002. And those inspectors only left when the invasion began. It wasn't Saddam Hussein who prevented inspectors. It was George Bush. And those inspectors were then barred from returning to Iraq by the Bush administration. The UN was perfectly willing to send in inspectors. Hans Blix wanted to go back in. And is Pat Roberts insane, or have these guys, have they really and truly perfected the art of the big lie? I mean, you just wonder, are they starting to believe their own PR? Is it possible that George Bush actually believed he was telling the truth when he told a reporter Iraq did not let inspectors in? At no time has Iraq refused to let inspectors in. Even back in 1998 when Bill Clinton pulled Scott Ritter and the inspectors out of Iraq. It wasn't because Saddam Hussein wasn't allowing inspections. Inspections were keeping him in the can. Bill Clinton pulled the inspectors out so that he could attack Iraq without hurting the inspectors. And then when they went in 2002, in November of 2002, Saddam Hussein said, "Fine, bring them in. There's nothing here." I remember watching Tariq Aziz on TV saying, we welcome the inspectors. We don't have any weapons of mass destruction. This is not to say that the Hussein regime was, you know, well known for telling the truth, but he was. And Hans Blix was saying, yeah. On May 7th, back to this claim that was made yesterday by Scotty McClellan, beam me up, Scotty, that there were that we never use the word imminent, as if that means anything. First of all, I mean, going to war is going to war, regardless of the words you used. It's still committing your troops, consigning a certain number of your troops to death. And another percentage of them to permanent injury physically. And another larger percentage of them to permanent injury psychologically and emotionally. George W., having missed the Vietnam War, and we're going to get to that in a second, apparently never, just doesn't get, I mean, you know, this is why I thought it was so interesting that Joe Biden, when we were down in Washington last week and he spoke to us, he said, you guys don't get it. The military are the good guys in this. They did not want this war. The military, and here you got Wesley Clark running around. He's not the only general who's talking like that. There's a pretty broad consensus in the military. I mean, you had Shalikashvili, you had Zinni, you had, you know, I mean, there's a, they have seen, these guys have seen people die in war. They know what a horrible thing it is. And they know it's something you only do when every other option has been exhausted. I mean, it's just that simple. So here on May 7th, less than a week after the president announced the end of major combat operations, White House spokesman Ari Fleischer was asked, didn't we go to war because we said weapons of mass destruction were a direct and imminent threat to the United States? And on May 7th, Ari Fleischer said, absolutely. Now, again, Scotty McClellan, a day before yesterday, I believe it was, said, we never use the word imminent. Similarly, in November 2002, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld said, and I quote, I would look you in the eye and I would say, go back before September 11 and ask yourself this question. Was the attack that took place on September 11 an imminent threat the month or two or 2 months before or 3 months before or 6 months before? When did the attack on September 11 become an imminent threat? Now transport yourself forward a year, 2 years, or a week, or a month. So the question is, when is it such an imminent threat that you must do something? And in fact, 2 days after Bush's 2003 State of the Union address, Dick Cheney said Saddam Hussein, quote, threatens the United States of America. Now, this brings up the military record of George W. Bush and all the flap that's being made. I thought it was interesting that Peter Jennings pushed and other reporters have pushed Wes Clark on this issue. I think it's so great, because if you want somebody to be able to make their point, you question them about it, and it gives them an opportunity to talk about it. And if Jennings was interested in just covering up the fact that Bush had been absent without leave during his military service, he never would have asked Clark that question about what Michael Moore said. He would have just let it die, which the press had largely been doing up until that point. So the question, was George Bush AWOL or was he a deserter? And, you know, it's really interesting. I called my lawyer this morning here in Montpelier, just, you know, a local person, a friend, the person who handled when we bought the house here, you know, who's a real estate lawyer. And in her office is a guy who's a other kind of lawyer, I don't know, who served in the Navy. And he was a lawyer in the Navy. And, you know, I said, do you know anybody who knows anything about military law? And she said, yeah, it was, you know, so-and-so, Paul, I think his name is. And so she put him on the phone. And I said, Paul, what's the difference between a deserter and AWOL? And he said, well, let me pull it out. And he pulled out Section 85 and Section 86 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And he read it to me. That's rather lengthy, but the bottom line is that in order to be a deserter, deserter, quote unquote, there are a couple of criteria that have to be met, and it seems that you have to be either trying to avoid combat or in the midst of combat, try to avoid being shipped off to combat, or trying to avoid being shipped out to sea. And the out-to-sea part may go back to the 1700s. I mean, you know, it's the UCMJ is not something new. And he said, as a lawyer who was a lawyer in the military, he said that because George Bush's National Guard unit had not been federalized when he was in it, in other words, the federal government hadn't taken control of that unit. That was a unit that never went to Vietnam. It was a safe placement, which is why his daddy, the congressman, put him there, moved him to the head of the line. And because they hadn't been federalized, that he was not facing imminent danger. And so he wasn't fleeing danger. And so he probably didn't technically desert. He was technically AWOL. And what Paul said was that in his experience, back when he was a lawyer with the military, that if you were AWOL for less than 30 days, the military took care of it themselves. They'd nail you and put you in the brig. If you were AWOL for more than 30 days, on the 31st day, they called in the FBI. And you go back and you look at Bush's service in the military, and it is quite clear that, from May to November of 72, he was living in Alabama, working on the U.S. Senate campaign of Winton Blount, a friend of his father's, and was required to attend drills with the Air National Guard in Montgomery. There is no record that he attended any drills whatsoever. His commander, General William Turnipseed, has stated in interviews that he never saw Bush report for duty. And on it goes. You know, you've heard it all. It's all out there. It's easy to find. In fact, MoveOn.org has a great summary of this stuff on their website. You can find it at MoveOn.org. So, you know, was he a deserter or did he simply go AWOL? Yeah. Apparently it's just AWOL, but even that is a tough charge. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. I'll be back.
Welcome and good evening. Soon one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Well, I used to think I was free. I used to think we had a democracy. Well, I used to think I was free. Oh, Lord, what happened to our country?
And welcome back. Truth and Common Sense in Broadcasting. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 1-800-TALK-YES or NO. I want to get into this. Filmmaker eats at McDonald's for 30 days and almost dies. It's a great story and some of the news that goes along with it. But first we have Raymond in Smith City, Michigan. Hey, Raymond, I grew up in Michigan. I'm not sure where Smith City is. Where are you located?
Yeah, we're south of Jackson here, about 90 miles west of Detroit.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, out in the Irish Hill.
In the neighborhood of Coldwater, I would guess.
Well, we're not that cold.
Okay, and not that far west.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyhow, what's up?
Well, I just kind of wanted to maybe kind of recap this desertion accusation thing. And, you know, I think you went to a good point in talking to somebody who knows about this, but I think maybe there's another step you need to take in it, and is being a active National Guard person. You would be subject to the uniform code of that particular state, i.e. Texas. And so it wouldn't be a federal offense, AWOL. It would be a state-level offense covered by a state code.
Yeah, that was one of the points that Paul, this lawyer, made to me this morning. He said that technically George W. Bush was reporting to the governor of Texas, not to the president of the United States, because each state's National Guard is considered part of the state militia.
Exactly. And so that kind of gets it out of this whole federal kind of sending the FBI thing. They're not involved in it. But I think just to make a point, I think Clark was right in saying, hey, I'm looking at what you did as president. And I think Michael Moore made some expressed it in a good way in saying you really deserted the American family, you deserted the workers of America, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And that's really what the issue is, and that's what we need to hold them accountable to. And we just got to keep saying that until people realize that apathy doesn't work. You got to get out and you got to take a look at the way the world is. And if you want to change things, you're going to have to participate. Like Clark says, he says we need to hold our leaders accountable. Well, it seems to me we need to be accountable for the leaders that we elect, and
yeah.
We need to get
Amen.
Out there and take care of it.
Amen. Well said, Raymond. I absolutely agree with you. And yeah, that's what, you know, we're going to have Bernie Sanders on again tomorrow, and every Friday we get Bernie on, and he just always, you know, he always takes it back to it. I so admire him for this. You know, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it, Raymond? You know, and of course you're saying that that's what we need to do individually, is we need to get active, we need to get out there, we need to make our voices heard, we need to participate. And it's absolutely the bottom line. We can't afford to just sit around and say, well,
I've never been politically active until this point, to last year when I get involved with the Clark campaign. But I've been politically aware. But I mean, I just got to the point where, you know, you had to do something, and I had to evaluate where I thought things needed to go and get out there and work on it. And
yeah.
And it's tough getting out there and trying to get people to even think about the issues. It's hard sometimes to accept the fact that other people have different opinions, but it's just great to get people to have an opinion and
get them active, get them going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Raymond, a quick question. We got just a few seconds before the break. If Clark is not the nominee, will you support any, I mean, will you aggressively work for any Democratic candidate?
Absolutely. I will work towards getting somebody in that office that can...
Other than George Bush. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well said. Raymond, thanks for the call. Ed in Dayton, Ohio, hang on the line. I'll pick you up on the other side of this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the true people's radio. Stay tuned. I'll be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
One soccer mom says she can speak for herself, and she's not saying what some politicians claim she is. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. It happened during a 2001 U.S. Senate debate over a bill to improve automobile fuel efficiency standards. A Democratic senator claimed soccer moms would get upset if anyone changed their SUVs. The measure failed. That result and the comment angered Betsy Rosenberg, a San Francisco reporter and soccer mom.
Those of us who were soccer moms said, "You didn't ask us. We do care about fuel efficiency. That's a plus. That's not a minus. You misspoke for us." So we decided to organize a grassroots campaign and try to educate soccer moms and other concerned Americans about not only the need for more fuel-efficient family-sized vehicles, but the presence of the same in compact sizes.
Rosenberg co-founded a campaign called Don't Be Fueled, Mothers for Clean and Safe Vehicles. It promotes safer, more efficient automobiles, including minivans and SUVs. It calls for a boycott of huge gas-guzzling vehicles, and the Don't Be Fueled campaign takes issue with the notion that bigger is safer.
And the irony is, the bigger the gas guzzler, the taller the vehicle, the more unsafe you are, and we all are around you, not to mention our children's lungs and contributing to global warming, greenhouse gas buildup. So what's sold as a safer vehicle is au contraire, just the opposite.
Rosenberg says her campaign will continue to push for more clean car options coming out of Detroit. As Rosenberg puts it, she's tired of both U.S. automakers and the federal government dragging their wheels on safer, more fuel-efficient cars. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
The
following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Robin Bush and his merry band ripped apart this happy land. It's Robin Hood with a switch. He steals from the poor and gives to the rich. The Bushies and the Foxies and the prehistoric Limbaugh. We had a huge surplus and it's gone. We'll be running huge deficits from now on. There are big tax refunds for a few. The rich get richer, and the poor get screwed.
Yes, welcome back. Truth and Common Sense in Broadcasting. This is Tom Hartman. 1-800-TALK-YES is our telephone number if you'd like to be on the program. Ed in Dayton, Ohio is on the line. Hey, Ed, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Thank you for calling.
Hello, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
Good, but I'm a little disturbed by this thing this morning with Doug Steffen. I thought I was hallucinating until I heard you say it.
Yeah, I thought I was hallucinating when I heard him say it.
I just can't believe that he's serious, and I have this big letter all prepared to send, email all prepared to send off to him to try to persuade him to come to his senses. But before I did that, I wanted to make sure that all this had actually happened. So when I heard you, I thought, okay, I guess I really do have to follow up on this. I just can't imagine why anyone would take that position. I mean, he's, you know, if you look at his website, it's full of information about everything that's terrible about the Bush administration. I can't imagine him voting for them. I think people are unrealistic about expecting principled perfection from politicians, and you know that there has to be a certain amount of pragmatism. I'm not a Kerry supporter personally. I was rooting for Dean, and you know I would still like to see him be the guy. But if he isn't, you know. Then it's time to move on and deal with reality. And I wonder what it is about Kerry that has got people so worked up.
Yeah, I wonder too. I think.
I mean, I know he's, you know, okay, he's in Skull and Bones, and he doesn't come from a working class background and all these other things. But you know, I mean, if you go by those kind of standards, you know, you wouldn't be able to have Roosevelt either.
Right, or John Kennedy.
Or Kennedy. I mean, you can't look at things that way.
Or Teddy Roosevelt. Sense. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Another thing I wanted to do is, I think that there's been a lot of criticism of Michael Moore for calling Bush a deserter, and I think, you know, people are saying, well, he wasn't a deserter, and, you know, making this legal distinction between being a deserter and being AWOL, but I think I'll just go with what the dictionary has to say, which is that they're synonyms.
Uh-huh.
And that if you are AWOL, then you can be called a deserter. It says desert, verb, to forsake in violation of orders or oath as a post, without leave from the armed forces, with no intention of returning.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I don't see how that deviates from what Bush did in any significant way. You know, yeah. So I think it's just picking nits to say that he's AWOL but not a deserter.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, there are people who want to pick nits. I mean, you know, it's
oh, sure.
If this enters the public. See, I think actually, talking about it is a great thing, and I think people taking it. No, he was just AWOL.
Well,
no, he
as long
was a deserter.
As the question is, well, was he a deserter or just AWOL?
Right. Yeah, it keeps the thing out there. You know. Yeah. See, that's the thing. I think that's a marvelous thing. So,
yeah.
Ed, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. As far as Doug's program goes, I really just first of all, his program is not heard on a lot of the stations that this one is on, and I'm not heard on a lot of the stations that he's on. So I don't think it's a good idea for one talk show host to be talking about another's show. Secondly, that's Doug's show, so I would encourage anybody with questions about what he's doing on his program to call his program or listen to his program. And he's carried on the IE web stream for those of you who are web listeners. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number in Wichita, Kansas. We have Kim on the line. Hey, Kim, welcome to the program. We had Kim on the line.
Oh, Tom?
Yeah. Welcome. You're live.
Roy.
You're live and on the air.
Yeah, Tom, this is Roy.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Roy in Rio Rancho. How did that happen?
I don't know. I'm not the one who's punching the buttons.
Okay. Hey, John, I don't see Roy in Rio Rancho anywhere here on my board, but I've got Kim in Wichita on the board. Anyhow, okay, Roy, you're on the air. What's up?
Okay, real quick, I was listening to Doug this morning, and I do agree. Let people go up to his website, but he has got something going on with Kerry as his senator, and I don't know what it is, don't even really care. I was real disappointed to hear it. But that's there. I kind of agree with you. It's nice talking about AWOL and deserter. That's like saying, did he beat his kids as well as his wife?
Right.
when I was in the Navy, just before we got, part of my orientation was I was told that there was one day difference between AWOL and desertion. You were AWOL up to 30 days, or one day at 31 days you were deserter. You were AWOL if you weren't around your ship until one day after you left.
Yeah.
And then it became desertion.
That was my understanding, too, but apparently it's more subtle than that.
And who cares? Let's let it talk and go on about it. I have been paying particular attention since you were talking about Rudy Giuliani, kind of being the October or the September surprise.
Yeah,
it is amazing how much chatter there is now about him dumping Cheney.
Oh yeah, Bush is taking heat, and he's not the kind of guy who takes heat. I mean, he's always in his whole entire life, he's had buddies from Skull and Bones or his daddy bringing him up, and whenever he gets into trouble, he's been able to blame it on somebody else.
And not only that, if Cheney steps sideways, he can still have all the influence. He'll be in the background. It's no big deal. It's not like they're going to take him out and shoot him, although they should.
Yeah. He's going to claim that, he's... I'm an old guy, my heart, it's time to retire.
The batteries are running down.
There you go.
Okay, Tom. Thanks. Have a great one.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks for the... Roy. Thank you, Roy, for the call. Okay, now let's go to Kim in Wichita. Hey, Kim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Okay, one second here, John says. We got to punch the right buttons in the right order. Kim, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Hey, welcome to the program.
Okay.
Took a long time, but better late than never.
That's okay, sir. Number one, on this thing about desertion, I'm like you and this other fellow. I was always told, hey, one day makes the difference. Now, if you want to talk to fine points, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the main thing is the guy wasn't there where he should be. There were affidavits drawn up by his commanding officers, and that's it.
Yep.
But now, more important, I have another question.
Yeah.
At what point, when these corporations go overseas so they don't have to pay taxes, like they take their, they move to the Cayman Islands.
Like Halliburton did, under Dick Cheney.
Right, Halliburton and certain other companies. At what point then do they have to be identified as foreign corporations, which are their executives now, should not be by law permitted to give contributions to any political party or political candidate?
Is that still part of the law?
No, that's what I'm trying to. Maybe you want to ask Representative Sanders.
Yeah, we can raise that tomorrow. In fact, I would encourage you, if I forget, call in tomorrow when he's on between 1 and 2 Eastern time.
Right. And one other question then.
Sure.
Okay, it's also concerning this break-in or the hacking of Democrats.
Right, by the Republicans.
When they do it with corporations, they're prosecuted.
That's right.
So why is it the people who had their computers hacked They cannot, if they want to sidestep the Justice Department under Ashcroft, why can't they go to the Washington, D.C. District Attorney and say, we were hacked?
Well, I don't think that they can go to the Washington, D.C. Police Department because Congress is a special territory. It's like an extrajudicial territory. It's not part of Washington, D.C. They have their own police department. They have their own laws. It's the reason why, just one step away from that is the reason why residents of Washington, D.C. don't actually have a member of Congress. When they put together Washington, D.C. back in 1787, or it was a little later than that, I guess, but in the beginning, the idea was that this would be an area where all the politicians would live, and therefore they shouldn't, be representing themselves in Congress, and that it was the District of Columbia. I mean, Jefferson, Franklin, and Madison came up with this idea that America should have a goddess, just like the Greeks had goddesses and the Romans had goddesses. And so they created this goddess. They named her after Christopher Columbus. They called her Columbia. There's a 19.5-foot statue of her on top of the Capitol building. And I mentioned some months ago, this is why it gave me chills when I saw the headline a few months ago when the space shuttle went down, where it said Columbia dies over Texas. Because Columbia is the goddess of America. She was on our coins. She still is on our coin. Liberty quarters and whatnot. And so anyhow, there's this separation, this intentional separation, that the District of Columbia is uniquely separate from the rest of America, and that within the District of Columbia, those buildings that are part of the governmental offices are also separate. So, but I agree with you. If hacking into the computers of IBM or like that is a felony and you can be put in jail, then the person in Bill Frist's office who hacked into other offices into the offices of or into the computers of the Democrats should also be in jail. Kim, I got to let you go. I got four other callers and 3 minutes to go here. Let's go to Mike in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Mike, we got to move it along. What's up?
Hi, Tom. Hey, Mike. I just want to ask you. I don't know if you've covered this because we weren't getting you this morning at all. But the Hutton report that came out in Britain, basically reprimanding BBC and vindicating Blair. I mean,
yeah, the folks over there are yelling and screaming, saying the thing's a whitewash of Blair, and but BBA, but once it's
Hutton guy. I mean,
well, frankly, I don't. Yeah, I don't know that much about it, Mike. So I'm sorry, I can't give you an informed opinion. It's something that I haven't looked into in detail, and so I'm reluctant to spread what might be misinformation. If you go to some of the more well researched websites, commondreams.org and so forth, you'll find I'm sure commentaries on those. I got to move along here. Louise in Berkeley, California, is on the line. 1-800-TALK. Yes, hey Louise, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yeah,
oh, Lois. Okay.
I was listening to Amy Goodman this morning. They were talking about Clark and Kerry. And she spoke to a reporter who had done some research on him. And a good thing about Kerry that I didn't know was that he was a Vietnam veteran against the war.
He was a leader of Vietnam veterans against the war.
Yeah, I thought that was excellent.
Yeah.
And also my personal opinion is it seems like the South doesn't like Yankees, and he is definitely a Yankee, and perhaps Clark will get some more support.
Yeah,
in South Carolina, and that's all.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Lois. My bet or my guess would be that you're going to see, if Kerry gets the nomination, and I think it's too early to say that. I think Howard Dean is still very much in this race, and time will tell. I mean, there's only a few hundred delegates, not even 200 delegates that have been selected, and they need over 1,000. If Kerry or Dean is selected or elected as the a Democratic candidate, I'm guessing that either Clark or John Edwards are going to end up on that ticket because they are going to need a Southerner. Jim in Lansing, Michigan's on the line. Hey, Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. I guess Jim is no longer on the line. Oh,
hello?
He is there. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I think Doug Stepan is a Republican. He says he is anyway, so that may be one reason. And he endorsed Howard Dean before Iowa, so he may have eaten some crow that he didn't like, and he's trying to save himself.
Yeah, who knows?
But John Kerry, in my mind, is not electable. Number one, his NRA rating. He's a liberal Northern Democrat from Massachusetts. Ted Kennedy. He will not win against Bush.
Now, well, and I think Jim, that's the reason why the Republicans went into Iowa and spent a pile of money on ads to knock down Howard Dean, and they succeeded.
Concerted effort to get John Kerry nominee for just exactly that reason, because George Bush will crucify him just as the media did Howard Dean. And I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. I agree with you. Absolutely agree with you. Terry in California is on the line. Hey, Terry, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, it's me again. I just wanted to point out a couple of things, something that I heard on the one of the people that on the TV, they were talking about Kerry.
Yeah.
And they said that who are his biggest supporters? And they said, well, the top two, the biggest category of supporters are lawyers, and the second largest category of supporters are the Wall Street bunch.
Yeah.
So he's got that kind of a crowd backing him up.
Well, Kerry came out of the pre-Dean era when you really had to get money from somebody.
Yeah.
And so on the one hand, I'm not sure that disqualifies him, and we don't know how much of that support it was and what sort of deals he made and whether he was beholden or not and all those kinds of things. On the other hand, Howard Dean is clearly the cleanest candidate in this thing of the major candidates, and Dennis Kucinich, I would say, as well. Although it doesn't, unfortunately, it doesn't look like Dennis has much of a chance, but still he's out there and he's still fighting the good fight. But I think that, with Howard Dean, with his internet, I also saw a story the other day that said that after the New Hampshire primaries that John Kerry had raised over $1 million on the web. So, maybe this idea that Howard Dean started, or some would say Joe Trippi started, of going directly to the people and raising money for a campaign is something that will percolate across the spectrum of the Democratic. I know that Wes Clark has apparently bought the mailing list from the meetup.com, because I've been getting Wes Clark mailings asking me for internet donations starting, I don't know, a month or so ago. And they are designed to look identical to the Dean mailings, the same color, the same layout, the same typeface. It's almost spooky. And I think that they're all jumping on that bandwagon and starting to raise money on the internet, and it's probably a good thing ultimately.
And Dennis can do if he does nothing more than just keep the conversation expanding, that's great.
Yes, he has served a very important function in this, as have Carol Moseley Braun and Al Sharpton too. I think, although I'm just really spooked by the fact that Al Sharpton's main advisor, Stone, I think his name is, was a Republican.
I know.
And it's absolutely spooky.
Thank you,
Terry, thanks for the call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the pill that will help you escape the matrix. Stay tuned. I'll be back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
if they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Now, Daddy didn't like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right.
And welcome back. Moving toward a bright and sparkling future by returning democracy to the United States of America. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks particularly today for our program to Louise Hartman, who produced the show here in Vermont, to John Lucas, who engineered the last hour of our program, to Shar Jones, who engineered the first 2 hours, to Brad Walrod in New York City, who edited and engineered our music today, and to the extraordinary, wonderful, thoughtful, insightful, and brilliant folks in our chat room who took 3 hours to show up, hang out, and have interesting and fascinating conversations with us today. Just to wrap up the program, filmmaker eats at McDonald's for 30 days, almost dies. And this is the antithesis of those ads that Subway has been running for the last couple of years, where the guy goes on a Subway-only diet, you know, and loses all that weight and gets healthy. Well, this guy His name is Morgan Spurlock. He's 33 years old, and he decided for 30 days, for one entire month, to eat nothing but McDonald's. And he's a 6'2" New Yorker who started out at a healthy 185 pounds. He added 25 pounds in a month, but that was not the least of his problems. This is from an article by Julie Sofer at SundanceChannel.com. Doctors who examined him were shocked at how rapidly his entire body deteriorated. It was really crazy, he said. My body basically fell apart over the course of 30 days. His liver became toxic. His cholesterol shot up from a low of 165 to 230. His libido flagged, and he suffered headaches and depression. You get this? He's making a small movie about this. His doctor told the Post he was an extremely healthy person who got very sick eating this McDonald's diet. None of us imagined he could deteriorate this badly. He looked terrible. The liver test was the most shocking thing. It became very, very abnormal. Well, what did he do? And Spurlock says he even began craving fat and sugar fixes between meals. I was desperately ill, he says. My face got splotchy. I had this huge gut, which I'd never had in my life. My knees started to hurt from the extra weight. It was really frightening. Well, the cure? He went off the diet. He just you know, went off the diet, and sure enough, he got better. Amazing. The movie going to Sundance and maybe coming to a theater near you. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
It's another audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, 400,000.